Romans chapter 10. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How? Not possible, right? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? In Hebrew, that actually says, who has amened our report? It's a good little aside there. Who has amened our report? When you say amen, it's not just a vain, empty, religious word. Amen literally means, I believe. I agree. Amen? That's why we do that in church. Do you amen it? When you say amen, you're saying, I agree, I believe. Hallelujah. So then, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's so important to understand that somebody has to speak the word of God. Not just any word of God, not just the grandma of the word of God, but the rhema of the word of God. You know, people don't understand that you can take something like the Bible, preach it from a grammatical point of view. The Greek word is grammar. That means you take the letter and you just preach the letter in a dead, dry, intellectual way. And it not only doesn't produce change, it actually kills. Paul says, the letter of the law killeth. The letter. You can take something meant for life and preach it in a theological, intellectual way, not knowing the power of the Holy Ghost, and it will actually have the opposite effect. It will kill you. And that's what religion is. Religion kills people. It kills faith. It kills any hope of getting anything supernatural from God. Well, that's all just dead. That's just all passed away. And they make something that's so full of life into a lifeless letter. That's not how faith comes. Faith comes through the rhema of Christ, the word of Christ. It's the word Christ means anointed one or his anointing. So it actually says faith comes by hearing the anointed word. The anointed spoken word actually changes people's lives. And you can sit in a church like this and not fully grasp everything intellectually, but because you're listening to the anointed word of Christ, healing occurs. Sometimes people's changes occur without them even feeling it or knowing it, but over time, coming week after week to a place where they're preaching the anointed word of God, things change. It's like, oh, I forgot. I had that symptom in my body, but I don't even have it anymore. When did you get healed? I don't even know. What happened? The rhema word, the anointed preaching of God's word brought healing into your life. That's how it's supposed to work, guys. Didn't God say that the word of God is food? Come on. Isn't this food? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Has to be spoken, has to be preached, has to be taught. Why do we come to church to hear it? Because it has an effect, just like food. Now, when tonight you go home and have your dinner, can you explain to anyone at the table how food works? Can you definitively say after putting broccoli in your mouth whether it works or not? Huh? Can you do that? I don't think you can. I don't think any scientist can. There is no test that broccoli works. But given consistent use, you know, consistent consumption, time after time after time, it seems that broccoli does something good for you. Amen? That's how it works. You're not supposed to be able to dissect it and say, you know, here's a million different nutrients and it's all going into my trillions of cells and this is how it's working. You have a headache thinking about that every time you put food in your mouth. You don't need to say, oh, how does the word work? I don't understand. Why do I have to go to a church where they're preaching the word that is alive? I can't explain it to you, but I know it works. I know people here who had cancer who don't have cancer. How does that work? I understand the science. I know a little bit about science, but I don't know how this word got into your cells and the cancer disappeared. I don't think you do. I don't think there is a test that can can show. The only test is the before and after. Before, you're supposed to have cancer in the liver or in the brain. After, we can't find it. Can the test prove Jesus Christ is alive? No, it cannot. There's no test where the doctor will say, you know what, you got me. I see Jesus' hand all over this. I have to admit, this is a scientific proof that Jesus Christ healed you. No. But you know what happened. Before, you didn't get the word, but afterwards, the word came. Through a CD, through a DVD, through a book, through a preaching of the word, and somehow life was manifested in your flesh. Amen? That's how the word of God works. Now, can we go a bit deeper? You okay? All right, let's get into this. There are, if we want to talk about healing, let's just talk about this as an illustration of how to apply the word of God. If we are in the subject of healing, which is a fairly important subject, wouldn't you say? Ever been sick? Ever known anybody who's been sick? Sure. And you're going to know more. How important is this? Well, it apparently is a third of Jesus' ministry. He went about teaching, preaching, and healing. Again, Matthew 4 and Matthew 9 both say he went about preaching, teaching, and healing. That's 1, 2, 3. A third of his ministry is healing. And if you just go around meeting people enough, you're going to realize at some point in your life, you're going to need healing. And when it's someone close to you, when it's someone that you love, you better understand healing now. Amen? The worst time for you to understand healing is when you're sick. Now, that's not bad. If you're sick, please come to church. Please come and get some teaching. Absolutely. But when you're sick, you're not really feeling too hot, are you? I've been to many hospitals. I've prayed with many people when they're in their bed, some of them in their deathbed. I've held the hands of people that die. It's not easy. It's not a place where we can say, wow, you know, you just got to believe. Just believe God. I mean, they're fighting with all of their strength just to be alive. It's hard. It's hard just to even pick up a Bible. I remember one boy that came to us in New York when I was living there. The mother carried this 10-year-old boy in. He was diagnosed with leukemia, which is blood cancer. And I said to him, they sat the boy down in front of, at our house, in a living room in our house in New York. And I wasn't a preacher. I wasn't a pastor. I wasn't, to this day, I'm not really sure how they knew, but they knew I was a Christian who believed in healing. And so they made an appointment with our family, and they wanted to see if we could do anything. And I said, sure, we can do something. I know God's word works. But I said, now you need to do something. You need to put the word of God into you. I don't know what kind of church you go to. What church do you go to? I asked the mother. Turns out she went to a cult. She went to a Jehovah Witness cult. So not even a true born-again, saved believer. But yet she had respect for God and respected Jesus and obviously loved her boy very much. Just wanted to find out. Obviously, her Jehovah Witness Kingdom Hall, they don't have any life there. There's no healing there. There's no supernatural move there. So they know people like us. We believe it. We experience it. We have it. So can you do anything? I said, sure. And I said, Proverbs 4, I got him to turn. Proverbs 4, verse 20 to 22 says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ears unto my saying. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Let them not depart out of your sight. For they are life. Say life. Life to those who find them. And it says medicine. Depends on your translation, but you can look up on the margin or in the Hebrew. It says medicine to all their flesh. Many people want to spiritualize healing, like, oh, it's just healing for my feelings or healing for my spirit. But no, this is healing for the flesh. It can't be any clearer than that. So I said, look, you just need to put the word of God into you. You need to get the unadulterated, uncompromised healing word of God. So, said to the boy, can you read the Bible morning and night? Just like the doctor prescribes medicine morning, noon, and night, and you take it, don't you? He says, yes, I do. I said, well, then I'm prescribing you the word of God. You got to take it seriously. You got to take it night and day. It doesn't matter if you understand it. You got to put it into you. Just like you put in food and you don't understand where all the nutrients go. Well, he said, I can't. Now, I had no experience at that time. I was just a baby Christian. I'm amazed I went through that and I came out okay. But I was a bit shocked. I said, what do you mean you can't read the Bible? He said, I don't have enough strength. He said, the chemotherapy weakens my immune system and weakens my body so much, I don't even have the strength to pick up the Bible. And think about that. You want to go preach faith and shout faith and expect people to have faith when they're that sick? I'm sorry, that's, you know, you're not going to get a happy ending. So you need help. So this is where I think, you know, the whole faith message needs to be balanced with a bit of compassion. I said, Mom, you know, his mom, I said, can you read the Bible to your son morning and night? And she said, yeah, sure I can. I said, well, good. Well, then Mom, pick up the Bible. Now, I illustrate to you what he did. He said he couldn't pick up the Bible because this was too heavy. And he illustrated that by, you know, we set a glass of water in front of him. And he said, just to get that glass of water, my mother needs to help me. My mommy has to help me because of the chemotherapy. And so he put his legs and arms are just almost bones. And he just flopped it like that. And he flopped the other one. And he kind of edged the glass just close to him. And that's as much as he can do. Now, don't you dare say that God did that. That is Satan. It is Satan who's out to steal, kill, and destroy. I'm not going to preach against chemotherapy, but I think it's highly toxic chemicals. Amen. If you have to go through it, then certainly pray. But if you don't have to go through it, certainly it's better. So this boy was so weak, I said, okay, Mom, you just read the Bible to him. It was Friday. She started doing it, I think, that night. Saturday morning, she read the Bible when he got up. Saturday night, she did the same. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday morning. They go into chemotherapy. The children do it together in a group. And he's the only one discharged. They said, something's happened to your body. Your white blood cells are up. I don't know even fully what that means. But they said, go home. And the boy got healed of cancer and is alive today. I wasn't a pastor. I wasn't a preacher. I just knew there was life in this word. Amen? You put this word into you. You go to a church that puts the word of God into you. It's going to change your life. Little by little. I can't pinpoint it. I can't locate it. Maybe sometimes you can. But it'll just happen. Little by little. Hallelujah. All right. There are two sides or two camps when it comes to healing. And we're going to call it this. I don't like the name of this, but let me say it, and then we'll explain it, okay? There are literally like two sides in the Christian world. You can divide everybody into one of these sides. As soon as I say it, people will bristle, and they'll get emotional, and they'll think, I'm on this side, all right? The one side is the sovereignty camp. The other side is the faith camp. And there are extremely strong emotions on both sides about this, but I'm not here to preach emotions. I'm here to tell you what thus saith the Lord is, what God says in his word. So the one side, the sovereignty camp, basically prays this way. Most of them have stopped attacking healing. There used to be some who just said, oh, all healing is done away with. It's passé. It's gone with the first apostles. And so we can't expect that God is going to do anything whatsoever for us today. Don't expect anything. Most people who say that, they're not taken seriously anymore. So thank God for that. That's gone. Undoubtedly, healing occurs. Undoubtedly, it's occurring in meetings and in churches. But how do we get it to happen? Now, this is where the next kind of stage of education needs to come in. Most people are still confused about this. They think, is it eeny, meeny, miny, mo? You know, I will not heal you, but I will heal Joe. And people kind of think, maybe God is playing Russian roulette with your life. And so the sovereignty camp basically says, when they pray for healing, they'll say, you know, dear Lord, please heal this person if it be thy will. Now, that's the key phrase that they say. If it be thy will. Because they believe that God is sovereign, which I think everybody believes, but they have an emphasis on the fact that since God is sovereign, he can do whatever he wants to. Now, we also believe that God is sovereign. However, we do not think that God can lie. We do not think that a sovereign, if you just study politics or history, you understand the word sovereign does not mean somebody who can do whatever they want to, because the word for that is a dictator. A dictator is one who passes laws but does not obey his own laws. He makes it up as he goes. He changes the rules and you don't know when and how. That's a dictator. A sovereign, like the Persian emperor, even the Babylonian kings, they were heathens, but yet they were true sovereigns, because the Bible will tell you again and again, when they passed a sentence, they could not negate it. When they put their seal of approval on a law, even they are bound to keep that law. That's the definition. That's a political correct legal definition of a sovereign. Now, many Christians don't know that. Many Christians think a sovereign is a dictator. I say I will heal, but then I don't heal. I say I will help you, but then I disappear. I say I will heal you, but then who knows if I'm going to be there. That's not a sovereign. Amen? Got it? Does that help you? Okay, so let's be clear. The sovereignty camp says, Lord, please heal this person if it be thy will. But is it your will or not? Well, you are sovereign. You do whatever you want. So if you get healed, we say, whoa, God was in a good mood today. He wanted to heal you. Sovereignly, he chose to heal you. But if you don't get healed and you continue to suffer or die, we say, isn't that too bad? The mysterious will of God. We're not sure what God is up to, but he didn't, in his sovereignty, he didn't deem it fit to help you or heal your child today. It's just the sovereign will of God. So what they're saying is they're blaming God for the lack of healing. So we're saying if there's healing, we credit God. If there's no healing, we're going to blame God. That is the sovereign position. Got it? Okay. The faith position is on the other side, saying the Bible constantly says, God is constantly saying that when healing occurs, he put the responsibility on you. When healing does not occur, he puts the blame on you.
You've just listened to part of an audio teaching CD. For the full message, please visit Discover Ministries website at discover.org.au. You can also obtain other teaching CDs, DVDs, or other resources by Pastor Steve Ciccolanti. We trust that you were blessed by this teaching.